Welcome to the New John Schwann Podcast. This is Isaac. This is the second part of our interview with Eric Peters. We released the first part back in November, so you can check out the archive if you haven't heard it. In this portion of the interview, Eric talks about the training he did with Bruce in the late 80s, early 90s, talks about doing the early instructor trainings at Anvil Ranch. Then he gives some advice on practicing energy gates and its role in the preparatory work for the more advanced practices. Anyways, hope you enjoy it. Thanks for listening. We've got more interviews on the Patreon coming out. We just released part two of Frank Allen's interview. And there's a whole bunch more that we've already recorded. Just going to be coming out over the next season. So check it out. Hope you enjoy it. And thanks for listening.
Back to our discussion about opening the energy gates of your body, Qigong, with our friend Eric Peters. Eric, you were telling us some of the stories about, you know, back in the day in Denver, and I know a lot of stuff went on at the Neijia Chuan Institute. One of the stories involved a handspring. Would you mind relating that one?
Somewhere along the way, I had a friend in law school who was interested in Tai Chi, and he came one night to watch class and was sitting on the sofa, and I think we were in the one of the simplified yang form classes, and there was a younger girl in the class with her parents, and she apparently did gymnastics. And so at one point while we were practicing or doing something, Bruce started talking to the girl about gymnastics and was she doing, et cetera, et cetera. And then he started talking about how he used to do gymnastics. And then all of a sudden he proceeded to take a couple of steps across the floor, and he did a perfect handspring and completely spun around, landed on his feet and stood up and kind of walked away or said something else to her. And that friend of mine was completely flabbergasted. And for the rest of the time in law school, he would constantly start saying, "I don't understand how that guy could do that." but he did it.
Wow.
That's a classic. So later on in his teaching, when we get to the early 90s, he started holding the retreats out in California. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your experience and give us some of your sense of the adventures that happened in California.
Well, yeah, he did a short form instructor training that was in, I think, San Rafael or San Anselmo back around 1990, but I didn't go to that. The first one I went to might have been the second summer that he was at Anvil Ranch, and I came for a week on the short form where he went through in depth material to do with the short form. And I think the second week when I wasn't there was when he first taught the first half of the Wu style long form. And so he was at Anvil. I went to things at Anvil all the way up to, I think, 2000, which was the last year that that he did something at Anvil. Although, actually, the 99, we did the short form instructor training over there in Petaluma. So he started basically teaching week-long retreats, and Anvil was really delightful because we were out in the middle of nowhere, and we were all living together. People could tent. People had rooms. Some people didn't like it because they shared rooms with people, but some of us older students got to share a room in a garage over a garage next.
So I remember you guys. I remember thinking, "Oh man, those guys must be special. They get to be inside."
Yeah, when we were over the garage with Bruce, but. So I did that short form training. You know, Mary Christensen was there. David Barbero was there. I think Susie Rabinowitz was there. That's the first time Jamie Dibden came to America to do something. And that's when I first met Jamie, and I didn't see him again for about another 8 years. But, I remember, Jamie and I both were spending a night or two before the going off to the retreat and in Bruce's cellar in Fairfax, and Jamie and I went down to the local breakfast joint for breakfast, and he started talking about his stick training and his three sizes of sticks, and he was talking about a little short stick, and I said, "Oh, well, what's that like?" And he suddenly got that little gleam in his eye that you probably know well, and he pulled out of his little fanny pack you know, this little foot long octagonal stick, started showing me how you hit someone with it or pull them with it or this or that. But, so Jamie was there, trying to remember. And so those retreats over the years, they were a number of people from Boston where he was teaching workshops, from New York, from California, because by then he'd moved to California. There were still people coming from Santa Fe where he'd been living for 2 or 3 years. People from England started to come. The next summer, I did the spiraling retreat, and he used to teach spiraling only on weekends, and which he's pretty much stopped doing since then. But and that 1992 was also, I think, the first full moon meditation that he ever did. And then
Isaac, then were you there in 92?
No, I first came in 93.
Right. So that's when I met you, and that was this another spiraling retreat. Then I think in 94, the one I came to was when he started doing Tai Chi meditation, and we did that in 94, 95. In 90, somewhere in there, I think I also did a second week, because he also, you know, he had a bend the bow week along somewhere in there. He had a heaven and earth week in there somewhere. In 96, he did a God's week. And he did a week of meditation because he was writing his Relaxing Into Your Being book. So a bunch of the material that ended and exercises that ended up in that book, he was teaching at Anvil then. And then in 97, we had the first Energy Gates training. So we had the 2 week instructor training with Energy Gates and going through that. And I think one of the best things of that retreat was our morning practice. Every morning we had about an hour or slightly longer where we had a partner, and we had to each do 3 spine stretches with our partner holding your finger on each vertebrae as you went up. So that took a while and down again. And we had to stand for about 20 minutes, and we had to do about 10 minutes of cloud hands, and we had to do all 3 swings. So the whole set took about an hour. And it was, that there were always some interesting things that would happen in that practice, possibly from his transmissions. But, there's things I remember from these retreats, and maybe you've experienced it too, where there's stuff that you hear and you practice and you understand it that way. And then sometimes something strange happens in your body, and it's like happening, and it's like, oh, what's that? And I remember in particular with some of the swings, having a sense of my side channels and how they were moving in space. And that was entirely from that practice. It was nothing he ever talked about.
And so that first Energy Gates teacher training, it seems like people had been training in that set for quite some time before he finally started to train instructors.
Right. He went from his weekend workshops, and then he wanted to do these retreats because they took longer. And then in 96, he taught the first Dragon Tiger instructor training. And then he started doing, for other instructor trainings after that. But yeah, that Energy Gates training there, I'd been studying with him by then for 15 or 16 years. There were any number of people who had been studying with him and from Santa Fe or California or New York or Boston, who'd done any number of those weekend workshops before, there were, or with him in Britain. And there were a number of people, Brian Cooper was there from England. There were other British students. And there were a number of people who were, studying under Bill or Craig or different people. So that there was a pretty experienced, a reasonably experienced group of people at that training.
I didn't go. I saved my money to go to the Tai Chi meditation thing. That was after it. Mm-hmm. And the first day I was there, Bruce was like, so what'd you think of the instructor training? And I was almost like, it was good. I didn't get my certificate. But that was that at Anvil Ranch, that first one?
The Energy Gates training?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the teacher training. That was at Anvil.
That was,
yeah, okay. I think that's when I first met Lee Birkins. Lee was there.
That was the first year I met him, I think, too.
So how did the typical training day work back in that during that retreat? It sounds like you guys would meet in the morning to train on your own and do a set for an hour.
So you didn't do the meditation thing in the morning anymore at that point?
Not for that training. No, the earlier retreats, like the spiraling you and I went to, he would on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, he would do an hour long meditation in the morning before breakfast.
Right.
But in the instructor trainings, he stopped doing that. And I think by later on, he's pretty much stopped doing that as well. But
what were those meditation mornings like?
Well, he did one of those early years, and I wish I'd taken some notes because I didn't, but he did his three morning meditations were on each of the three Dandians. So we had a morning on the upper, middle, and lower Dandian each. And those, I have a very clear memory that they were very, very good, but I can't tell you much more about it than that.
I remember a lot of stuff about dissolving ghosts. Do you remember that being a thing?
That was part of his early meditation stuff, yeah. And then, you know, that the Tai Chi meditation weeks that he did, there were two of them, those got pretty wacky because that's when we were dissolving the organs and the glands and linking them to the lower Dandian, and everybody was in that living room and we were vibrating, we were making noises like
That was the first year I met Bob.
That's right, Bob. That's right. That's when Bob first showed up.
Yeah, and
Bob Tangora.
Like, who's this guy? He's big and scary. And
we did things like one of those Tai Chi trainings. We would do the form, and one method was as you would dissolve down your body, but as you had a move that went out, you would dissolve outward from that point. But if the move was coming in, you would dissolve in like sitting meditation.
Oh, wow.
We had another one where you dissolved in and out of each point on the spine at the same time as you went through the form, and a few other wacky things. Those were pretty interesting.
Yeah. There was a girl at that one, so I was a little bit preoccupied. Well, it's like first time in a decade that there was a girl at the retreat. I thought, oh my God, I have to take advantage of this. It'll probably never happen again.
Well, I was trying to remember which retreat was it when you got your hair cut?
That was 98.
Okay.
98 or 99.
That's when I first met you guys at the Tai Chi.
Okay, so 99 was the Wu style, right?
Instructor training. 98 was spiraling again, I think.
So I cut my hair in, must have been 2000.
Okay, maybe that was, we were doing gods.
No, I think it was at the Tai Chi one, Isaac. I could have sworn you were.
No, it was gods.
The dreads back then?
No, he got the haircut in the back eating area.
It was gods. It was gods because I remember the specific like thing we were doing that day, and then having a big long discussion with Lee about like how he saved his hair.
So back to the topic of energy gates. So Eric, just, you know, as we're winding up here, I was going to ask you, you know, what he's got, Bruce created a whole system of the different types of Neigong that are involved in each set. What do you see as the key Neigong principles that are involved in opening the energy gates?
Energy gates, I remember Danny Kleiman once looking at me funny when I said that heaven and earth was when you really started to get internal in the body. You know, energy gates, I think the important things are, from an energy point of view, is learning to feel the gates and to get the sense of outer dissolving in the body. And then a lot of energy gates is really alignments. It's alignments when you're standing and how they work and how the body has to soften and how those alignments have to develop over time. And then cloud hands and the swings are alignments while moving. And they're pretty fundamental. They're really most of the fundamental movement components that you have in doing your Tai Chi or Xing Yi or Bagua. And so that alignment, learning those alignments and learning how to work with those alignments is really important. There's some elementary issues of twisting or turning in the body in those exercises that are refined later. But that's, to me, those are the most important things about them. And there, some of them aren't easy, like that. The swings in particular are really dependent a lot on the alignment of your legs and how you turn and shift your weight. And they're hard to do. Especially that third swing. When I was doing the instructor training in 97, I was given many of the people sort of teaching groups were the people who were already teaching others, but I ended up getting the special job of having two or three people whose third swing was not good and having to get them to do the third swing the right way. And so there's common, you know, mistakes you see in the swings that when you're used to teaching people, the swings are also about that relaxation you're supposed to get from standing, and people move their arms when they're not supposed to, and it's perfectly understandable, but it they take to really do the swings well takes a long period of time.
So the thing Jess asked me, and I want to ask you, which is in terms of feeling the gates, would you say that the alignment is the precursor to feeling the gates, or you feel the gates and then you get the alignments? Which one sort of from your experience was more?
To me, that's sort of a mixed bag. I think some of that, you know, some people feel energy better than they feel their body. Mm-hmm. Other people, you know, feel their body and it takes them a time to, you know, that process of actually getting your mind in your body and to feel the gate and to let it go through the dissolving process takes time. I think to me, they're more sort of, symbiotic or interchangeable, and they feed off of each other.
Oh, that was great, man. And thanks.
Well, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think it's what you said earlier. It's that when you relax and you get the alignment, then you're able to feel, you know, I mean, and then that's to me when you stop kind of fighting it and you can feel mm-hmm. the gates, you know. Unrelated topic. Hold on. Just pause. So in that, you've seen that old video where he's on the porch, I think in Denver or somewhere, and he's like outside and it's like, there's like snow, it's like snowy, and he's kind of goes through the whole, all the different sets.
That's what I'm talking about. Oh, but it was one of the videos that was fairly well done.
Yeah.
It's kind okay.
And he does gods in that one at the end, and he leans his head way back, like, you know, when he's doing these ones.
Yep.
Did he ever teach it with that?
Yes. Hold on, man. I'm going to stand up for a minute. He taught that, I think probably first in Boston, and then for a long time he hasn't done it since. But where can you see? Whoops.
Yeah, you're good.
Take a step back. We can see.
So yeah. I'll stand sideways. It's not a real back, but when you're coming up here, you tuck the pelvis to sort of put your weight into the ball of the foot. Yeah. And there's a very slight lean back. You're not, you know, your head, you're keeping your
right. Okay.
You still have a sense of lifting in your head.
Right.
But
your eye line goes up a bit,
but it definitely goes up, or I'm doing this one. And so what am I trying to say? So, you know, you could be doing your reverse breathing in your spinal pump, but as you get up here, then there's that slight leaning back without, you know, without losing your balance. And I think, I don't remember him ever saying much about what that was supposed to be for, but I think it's pretty clearly to do that, to get that up and out.
Nice.
Mm. Yeah, because he's looking up.
He's rolled way back.
And I think, I don't remember whether he saved that more for the last two exits, the five and six, or whether he also, I mean, you can do it in number two as well, but somewhere.
Well, right. And now it's, you know, basically now he only teaches as part of seven, right? That well, the only, you know, the whole, or at least well,
To me, he wasn't so much bending the neck back as he was letting the whole torso move sort of back.
Like eight palm change, kind of.
Eight palm, yeah.
And you might tilt your head a little bit, but certainly not like the nothing like move seven where you're really rolling that neck around severely.
Yeah, because when he does seven in that video, it's like, wow,
I mean, yes. Yeah, his head just rolls like a bowling ball all over his shoulders.
I probably have that nuts. Somewhere. You know, my video machine is broken down.
And, oh, no.
And I think that movie you're talking about, unless he released it on a DVD as well, I don't think I can get at it anymore.
Part of it's on one of the old tapes, right?
Yeah,
and it was on a tape.
Recently, they put a chunk of it out on YouTube, I think.
Okay.
So it might
I don't know about that, did they?
Yeah, they did. The whole bit where he goes the different Qigong bits and that first little chunk of the Yang style they put up.
Mm. So as we wrap up, Eric, I was going to ask you, you know, opening the energy gates leads into spiraling energy body. So when someone's doing all this opening the energy gates training, you know, what would you say are some of the key components you want to focus on in order to move forward into the spiraling energy body training that comes later?
You really need to be comfortable standing for being able to stand for, you know, 20 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour, because, you know, to really do spiraling right or to practice spiraling right, it takes time. So, and your posture, it can be more interesting or even grueling to your physicality. And so that ability to stand comfortably and to really have your mind and your body and this particularly each of the gates comfortably, I think is very important.
It always felt like energy gates was like, do it in the most comfortable posture possible. And spiraling was do it in the least comfortable posture possible. It's like, you couldn't find a worse position than the one he would put you in. It was like, oh man.
Yeah, that, you know, I had done two or three weekends before that summer in 92. But in the summer of 92, he put me in this posture where you had your hands behind your back, away from your spine, with the hands on the Lao Gong. And that week was the most, I mean, I did Outward Bound in Colorado for 3 weeks. That was a piece of cake compared to the week in that posture. That was the most grueling thing that I have ever done. And the next summer when he came up to me, you know, to read the Dandians, I just said, you know, this is what you did to me last year. It was so bad. It was hard to actually focus on what I was to do. You got to give me something else. And he gave me a much more comfortable posture that still, you know, started opening up all kinds of wacky things. But
yeah,
but that's, you know, and the, you also need to, I think, to be able to do the other energy, the cloud hands and the swings fairly well, because traditionally when he had the time and he started getting into the gates and spinning them and spiraling where you make your little sphere of energy, the training part of that was that you then, if each gate that you got going, you were supposed to then practice those energy gates movements, letting the movement come from that gate. And so in order to really, you know, learn that effectively or be able to feel that, you also have to be fairly comfortable in what's happening to you as you do the swings and as you do your cloud hands. Because the experience of, you know, am I doing cloud hands from the spinning gate at the top of my etheric body, or am I doing it from in the middle of my heart, or am I doing it from the gates in my knees and letting that move me? That requires some sophistication and some practice.
Got to have a real stable base before you start going off on that stuff, I think.
Exactly.
Awesome. Wow, this has been great, man. Thanks.
Well, thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks so much. Great talking to you.
Thank you very much. We'll do it again.
Hope so, yeah.
All right, see you soon.
Hey, folks, it's Isaac again. Just want to say thanks for listening. Thanks for all your support over the first season. Really appreciate it. We'll be releasing some stuff on the Instagram to go along with the episode, so you can check that out for some images and stuff. And thanks for listening. Thanks for all the support. Take care, and we'll see you on season 2.